I bring to you this morning grace and mercy and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the King who came. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And again, Merry Christmas. We're now 2 days into the Christmas season. Yes, friends, it did not start the day after Thanksgiving. 2 days. 2 days into the Christmas season, 2 days into the tunes of Christmas worship here at Holy Cross. We've been in the anticipation process, working our way around the Advent wreath. Now we get to light the Christ candle. These both representing the same thing, a candle that I talk about each time as we do a baptism, one that's brought in or that's lit on Christmas Eve, a reminder of Christ's presence with us now. We have waited and waited and waited so that finally we could sing the songs of Christmas, which is why this morning we wanted you to have a chance to sing your favorites as we live in this 12-day long season, just 2 days into the tunes for worship. Only the second day of the 12 days of Christmas, we've sung now about joy to the world, about shepherds and angels. So who's ready to sing about dying? I know, kind of out of left field. Welcome to Abiding with Jesus. Did you hear it in our text for today? Right on the heels of the account of Jesus' birth and then his circumcision on the eighth day is this. His parents are just following the ceremonial laws of purification for mom and for firstborn sons. They were doing something really ordinary, and then out of nowhere comes Simeon spouting something quite extraordinary. If I'm going to put it in my own words, the Adam Peck translation, I could just die right now. As he scoops Jesus up into his arms and looks at him face to face, he's like, Lord, take me now. I'm all set. It doesn't get any better than this. As he stared into the wrinkly-faced little Jesus. Yep, he's breaking out into song. Just like Mary sang, and just like John the Baptist's dad, Zechariah, sang a song inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit, now Simeon is singing his song. Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel. I imagine he's just like, woo, woo, peace out, I am all set. Now, you guys largely, anybody opened some Christmas presents yet this year? Raise your hands, raise them high. You've opened some Christmas presents this year. Anybody still got stuff that's coming up? Okay, good, yep, there's still some Christmas celebrating. We're only on the second day, so you're good. So anybody, when you opened your Christmas presents this year, you were like, boom, I could die now, I've got it. No? None of those exclamations. Okay. Simeon did. And I wonder if we saw the same thing that he saw, if we would too. He goes on to explain what he saw. He says, this one, was destined for something. And when he uses that word destined, it's really like God has set things in place so that. And remember, he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, by God himself, to speak these words. So he's not just speaking of some like fantasized destiny, but this one is destined for this. This is what he's so excited about. For the bringing about of the falling and rising of many in Israel. Sound good, huh? Destined to be a sign spoken against, with the result that Mary's soul will be pierced and many people's thoughts will be revealed. Now that sounds like a present. Now you could just be like, woo woo, ready to die. Or maybe not. Maybe hard to see from what he says there, how this could make a man so happy as he looks at this baby and says all these things about it. Why is he so geeked that Jesus' words and actions would be a sign that are spoken against, meaning that some people are going to be offended by him and reject him and push him away, and others will believe and follow? Why is he so at peace, knowing that Jesus' words would divide families, that people's reactions to these words would reveal their hearts and their hearts' intentions, that they would be exposed because of this little one, that they would learn about his death and his resurrection, and there would be no middle ground, either rejection or openness to the beauty and the freedom that it'll bring? Now, I don't know if dominoes are like the in vogue present to anybody, but anybody ever get dominoes for Christmas? No, nobody. I did. I had some dominoes for Christmas. I mean, not the dominoes that you play like chicken foot or like Mexican train, like the kind where you like lay the numbers out and like match them all up and stuff, but the dominoes that you stand up one after another. Anybody seen the YouTube videos of people that spend like days, hours, months setting these things up? Pretty amazing. I encourage you to Google it. It's pretty awesome. Elaborate domino creations. Thousands and thousands of dominoes perfectly set up. Literally, one lady, she said, I spent like months working on this, like her favorite and best one just for her. And all the while, I imagine as she works through this, having a vision, as she sets one after another, after another, after another up, and all this intricate pattern, and carefully stepping around it, and making sure the wind doesn't blow too hard, or the fan doesn't blow, so that things get moved over and things, all then knowing the end that it would eventually be there, but seeing the long path that's ahead to get there, in the messy middle of putting one piece at a time, I picture Simeon on that day, holding a baby in his arms, scooping up Jesus, that this is maybe similar to that one that would set up the line of dominoes and just is examining the first row of a few and thinking ahead to all that will be, looking at the beginning of what is and knowing the end that eventually will be. I think that's what's in place as Simeon stares into the eyes of this little baby Jesus. God is giving him a vision of what's yet to come. He's prophetically proclaiming the designer's intentions of how these dominoes get set up and what an amazing creation eventually it's going to be. That this is a key piece, this portion here, these sets for his plan to proceed. Now, I don't know how much detail Simeon's given. We don't know. Does he know that Jesus would have 12 disciples? Does he know that one day he would end up speaking the words of those who are my mother and my brothers, who are they? They're the ones who do my word, who follow after me, even say those words to his own mom. Would they know that he would be betrayed by them all? Would he know that eventually he would be alone, that he would die, that he would rise? What specifics were clear to Simeon then as he looked at the first couple pieces, we don't know. But what we do know is that even while they were only at the beginning, Simeon is so satisfied because you can already see the end that comes with this beginning. So satisfied he could just die. So satisfied that he could see this baby, what this baby would be for him and for all of Israel, and in fact, for all of the world, a light that would reveal this to the nations. It would be the crowning jewel of the people Israel, the people of God, the nation that for generations before, really you could think about it as dominoes that didn't just start there. Really, there's been a creation of dominoes since the beginning of time, all the way back to Adam and Eve when the first fall happened and began setting things in place so that the people of God could see him as a loving God that would reveal them, that would release them from slavery in Egypt, that would care for them over the course of the years as they wandered in the desert, would give them a first promised land, a literal physical place that reminds them now of the future promised land that one day will be when Jesus comes to be a part of this. All these ways that he pointed ahead in this journey, and now he gets to see this place, this peace, this Jesus, this one that all of this has been pointing to till now, yet not to the end yet. But yet it seemed that he could see that Jesus would look at this nation, would look at him, would look at the world and say, they are to die for. Maybe you couldn't catch that from Simeon's song. It's not maybe incredibly clear, but as you read the words of the prophetess Anna, the next words along the way in this, She puts this dying and Christmas together on a whole nother level. We never actually get to know what words she said because they're not recorded here, but we get a summary of it. And she, friends, is not just talking about dying as in, man, this is something to die for. Whew, I got enough. But rather, she's talking about this baby dying. I know, Merry Christmas. But here it is, abiding with Jesus. Verse 38, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Israel. In a sentence, this baby is the one who's going to bring about the redemption of Israel. Now, for us in 2021, we hear redemption and we think of gift cards and coupons. We redeem these for the sake of something else. I turn in the coupon, I get 50 cents off my sub. I give you the gift card, I don't have to pay for dinner, somebody else did, awesome gift. We redeem this for something else. For them, for the original hearers, when they heard redemption, they didn't think of gift cards or coupons. Redemption was a technical word, and particularly as we find ourselves in a temple situation, this is where Mary and Joseph had brought Jesus into the temple. The exchanges that happened in there were ones in which the life of an animal was given and was sacrificed for the forgiveness of another. You heard the term a sacrificial lamb, as in a lamb that's given in sacrifice for another person. John the Baptist speaks about Jesus this way, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Both in John's declaration and in Anna's talking about redemption, they're saying the same thing. And really, though Anna is this like 84-year-old woman who seems very devout and all that kind of stuff, she sounds like Simeon's like hype girl. And she's like, yo, 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 guys, see this baby? He's going to die in place for us. So instead of us dying for our sins, he does. He's going to be the one that's going to bring life to the world. His life for our life. Praise God. Merry Christmas, she's saying. God was putting one more domino in place, getting all the pieces there. So then in the end, Jesus could speak to his disciples on the road after he had risen from the dead. And he could say, this is the end of Luke's gospel. We're at the beginning now, but let me give you a picture of what he tells us is at the end. Jesus speaking, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Every domino needs to get put in place, even from the very beginning of his parents being obedient to the law, of him being the exemplary example of what it is to be a follower of Jesus. They were obedient to the law. His mother would go get a purification rite. He would be consecrated to the Lord as all firstborns were to be. Those were just the first things. But even though it was only the first things there, Simeon could see the end that went with this beginning. In Luke's gospel, it says for those that were on the road, their eyes too were open. Their minds were open so they could understand the scriptures. Jesus told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and will rise from the dead. And on the third day, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Seeing Jesus as the Redeemer, even here at the beginning, one whose death would bring salvation to all people, this is the gift that Simeon stared into the eyes of at Christmas. Why he was ready to just die in peace. We find ourselves neither at this beginning nor at the end that Simeon prophetically tells us is coming. We're in the messy middle, where Simeon's prophetic word is our experience, that Jesus would be a stumbling block, would be one that divides, would be one whose words and actions, whose subsequent call on our lives will make us quite comfortable, even divided within, exposed in ways we don't want to be seen. I find it too often to be true that though we know ourselves to be children of God, we too stumble. Our inclination to read the words of God that are in line with what we like to do, and our reluctance to wrestle with the things that we'd rather not wrestle with. That as we hear his call to be individuals and families that are on mission with Jesus, not just those that love and celebrate his birth, as he reveals that we are part of the dominoes that he's now setting up in place in these days, so that his good news can continue to travel in our friendships, in our classrooms, in our neighborhood, that we too are the ones who were given the gift that was promised to those whose eyes were open. Your eyes have been opened, and you have been given this gift, this Holy Spirit as well, so that you could be a proclaimer, because you have been witnesses of these things in the places where you live, work, and play, around your kitchen tables, or at the lunch table at school, on your couches and in your backyards. But even knowing all these things, even hearing this call, how many of us continue to build our calendars for the year ahead with little margin for those things that we're called to, that would lead to that kind of end for not just us, but for the rest of the world as well? Here we are in the messy middle. Sometimes stumbling, sometimes frustrated that Jesus is getting in the way of life as we'd otherwise plan it. Sometimes seeing, gaining peace, along with Simeon, as the Spirit leads us to grasp the bigger creation, the bigger plan that God is putting into action in us and through us. Friends, the good news is that though that baby came in the flesh and Simeon could see him with his own eyes, God wasn't just at the beginning there. God meets us here too, opening our eyes yet again in the messy middle, grabbing our attention by this odd pairing of dying and Christmas, things I wouldn't normally put together, and reminding us that when we find ourselves in the messy middle, that you'll find peace, that you could just die right now kind of peace when you see again the end that goes with this beginning and this middle. You can talk about Christmas without talking about dying, but it's only when you put the two together that you'll open a gift so good that you could just die right now. My encouragement is that you would pray daily, that you could not just see but believe what Simeon did. Because that's the Christmas present that Jesus was dying to give you. Amen. May the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.